keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have for. So here's a how statement. Here's a way in which you can fulfill what God has just commanded you to do. Here's the how. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, there's one command right here that you've just given us, but it looks like the answer, the reason for us to do this, goes much deeper than just one simple command, than just being free from the love of money. How does the gospel impact the way that we live out Christ's
commands? Oh, I love that question, Steve. They're marvelous. I mean, isn't it significant that God does not come to us and say, now keep your life free from the love of money or else. Here's what's going to happen to you. I've got it in for you if you don't obey this command.
Yeah.
I mean, God could do that if he wished to do that. It's not what he says to us. What he says to us is keep your lives free from the love of money because the Lord has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So there's a promise here. And the promise is actually the motive for obeying the command. That's how the gospel works, you see. The Old Testament gives to us these commandments and they're held before us.
Right.
And the question then is, well, what is going to be the motive for pursuing these commandments? And in the New Testament, here's something very wonderful that we find. It's the love of Christ. It's the presence of Christ. It's the power of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of Christ working within us that actually generates the motive for doing what God has called us to do.
Yeah.
So seeing that connection actually gives an entirely different feel to the life that we're called to pursue, that it's not simply a life of duty, but there's actually some delight here, and that comes to the person who knows Christ through the Holy Spirit.
Well, I hope that as you listen to this broadcast, you're encouraged and you begin to grasp this and internalize this. We're in Hebrews chapter 13, so join us there as we continue the message, Contented in Christ. Here is Pastor Colin.
We obey God's commands by believing his promises. That's how you live the Christian life. And friends, what a marvelous, marvelous promise this is. I will never leave you. God says, I will never forsake you. Now think about that. To be forsaken by God, what would that be? To be forsaken by God would be the worst thing imaginable. A person forsaken by God would be completely alone. A person forsaken by God would be ultimately helpless. A person forsaken by God would be without hope in this world. To be forsaken by God would be the hell of hell itself. And God says to his redeemed people in Jesus Christ, that will never happen to you. It's wonderful. You will never be alone. You will never be without help. You will never, whatever you face and whatever you endure, be without hope. Whatever happens, I will be with you, God says. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now, commentators point out, and almost all of them seem to refer to this, that in the original language, there are no less than five negatives in this statement from the mouth of God. In fact, you can't translate it directly into English because, of course, in English, a double negative actually means a positive. So if you start heaping up negatives, it simply becomes confusing. But in Greek, a double negative or a triple negative or even more simply is a kind of double or triple underlining of the force of what is being said. And in this statement, you have no less than five negatives all piled up, one on top of another, so that one commentator says this is perhaps the strongest negation in all of the Bible. Perhaps the best way to phrase it would be just to put it like this. I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. In fact, when Spurgeon preached on this verse, he chose a five-word title. Never, 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 never. That was the title of his sermon, and that absolutely captures it. That's what you have here. A fivefold never, so that the sheer strength of the promise should be underlined no less than five times for God's own people. Now, let me just make three simple comments from this wonderful, wonderful promise that we want to try and take into our souls today to believe the promise so that we may obey the command. This is a promise that you can trust. You really can trust this promise because it's God Himself who has made it, and He has made it to you. Think who He is to you. He is the Father who loves you. He is the Savior who redeems you at the cost of laying down His own life on the cross. He is the Spirit who indwells you, who lives within you. So when God says to you, brother, sister in Christ, when God says to you, I will never, never leave you and I will never, never, never forsake you, He is saying there will never be a time or circumstance in your life when you do not have a Father who loves you. There will never be anything that you will ever face where you do not have a Savior who will keep you. There will never be a time in your life or a circumstance that you will ever face that you will not have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain you at that moment and in that time. Friends, Christian contentment is actually birthed here. Whatever happens, this remains true for you, that God will never leave you, He will never forsake you, and a Christian who takes that into his or her soul will say, I can live on that. I can live on that. I can live on it. Whatever. And think about this not only from the angle of who God is to you. Think about it from the angle of who you are to God. How does God describe His own people? Well, to God the Father, you are His child. And to God the Son, you are His brother. He has become a brother to us, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. To God the Spirit who indwells you, you are His own home. So think about the intimate language that God deploys to communicate to His own children just what we are to Him. You are His child, you are His brother, you are His home. So when He says, I will never leave you, God the Father is saying, I will never leave my child. God the Son is saying, I will never leave my brother. God the Spirit is saying, I will never leave my home. He has made this promise. He has made it in the strongest possible language, underlined five times. He has made it to His own children, and His own honor hangs on His keeping His word. You can depend on this promise in life and death and for all eternity. It's marvelous. Second, never forget that this promise is ours because of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says all of God's promises, they're all yes and amen in Christ, which simply means that without Jesus Christ, none of us would have any promises from God at all. They are all ours in Him, they are all ours through faith in Him, and they are all ours because of Him. People who have been through terrible experiences in life might sometimes say, I have been through hell. But you know, that is something that is not possible for a Christian. There is only one person in all of human history who has ever endured hell on earth, and that is Jesus Christ. And you remember what was at the heart of it and at the depth of it in the darkness? My God, why have you forsaken me? Christ entered into that forsakenness so that in him you would never know what that is like. Not in life, not in death, not ever. And it's yours in Jesus Christ. Could not possibly be without him. But because of him, God is able to say to all of us, his children, I will never, never, never forsake you. That's ours in Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Contented in Christ. We're going to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station because of your generosity. As you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy of a book that Pastor Colin has picked out. It's Tim Keller's book, The Prodigal God, Recovering the Heart of the Christian Faith. Again, it's our thank you for your financial support. And if you've never given a gift to Open the Bible before, this would be a great time to give. In fact, today is the final weekday to give a gift of any amount and to see that gift doubled if you're a first-time giver to Open the Bible. And again, anyone who gives a gift of financial support can request your copy of The Prodigal God as our way of saying thanks for your support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
God is able to say to all of us, his children, I will never, never, never forsake you. And the last thing I want to say is simply this, that you can draw on this promise, and we will need to keep drawing on this promise time and time and time again in the various experiences of our lives. And as I was just reflecting on the question, when do I most need to draw on this promise? I was actually helped by remembering this is not the first time that these words, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, occur in the Bible. Anyone who's studied the Bible at all, you know that that's somewhere in the Old Testament more than once, and these are not words that are being spoken by God for the first time. So I just asked the question, it's helpful to ask the question, when did God give such a promise before? And it's helped me just to think about when we most need to hear such words. Let me give you just these three suggestions. First, we will need to draw deeply on these words when you are facing an overwhelming challenge. And I got to that by reflecting on the fact that early on God gave exactly this promise to Joshua when he was facing the overwhelming challenge of stepping into the shoes of Moses. I mean, can you imagine what that's like? I mean, would you like that job? Moses' successor. Who wants that job? And your starting place for ministry is the wilderness. And the expectation is that you'll lead through all of the conquest and into the promised land. You know, nothing too difficult. And how would you like to be Joshua? Overwhelming challenge. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Most of you know this well. What does God say to him? Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Here it is. I will not leave you or forsake you, so be strong and be courageous. And you know, this promise of God is given to his people time and again in circumstances of trouble. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. We're to draw on this promise whenever we are facing times of particular difficulty. The presence of Jesus Christ in trouble is the Christian answer to fear. When you know that God has said, I will never leave you, then you are able to say, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So, as some in the congregation today are in particular times of trouble, this is the promise for you. This is the time when you need to draw deeply on this promise. God himself says, I'm with you and I will never leave you and I will never, never, never forsake you. Second, we may need to draw deep on this promise at times when we are being called to take a step of faith. I came to this by reflecting on the fact that God gave this promise to Solomon, who was actually in the opposite position from Joshua. Solomon's father had established a kingdom. David brought Israel to the very height, secured the borders, subdued the enemies, passed on to his son the most marvelous legacy of things in the best position imaginable. And of course, what happens when you are brought into a situation of great blessing? Put yourself in Solomon's shoes. What's your great temptation? It is to simply settle down and live on the legacy and settle into your comfort zone. To play it safe. To hold back. I mean, Solomon so easily could have said, look, even my father David didn't do something so audacious as to try and build a temple that would be one of the wonders of the world for the Lord. So why should I, Solomon, try and engage in something so risky, so difficult, so demanding, and so costly as this? Well, there are times when the greatest temptation is simply to play it safe. When God may be calling you to take a step of faith, and when you sense that you're in that moment of your life, you're going to need to draw very, very deep on this promise, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. The Bible records David's last words to Solomon, his son. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. It's absolutely fascinating. So here's David, the old man, and he makes this long list of all that he's done to gather the materials for building the temple. The detail is astonishing. He goes into it all. Solomon, I'm going to give you the plans for the temple. I'm going to give you the gold for the lampstands, the forks, the cups, the table, and the whole rest of it. Then it says this, 1 Chronicles 28:30. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. You see what David's last words to his son are? Solomon, you have been put in a position of being trusted by me with marvelous resources. Make sure you use them for the building of God's house. That's what David says to Solomon. Don't settle back into living in your own comfort zone and squander the lot on yourself. And here's how you can have the confidence to take a step of faith. God has said, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. Third, draw deep on this promise when following Christ has really been costly. And here we come back to Hebrews, where God gives the promise again in the New Testament. And what was the situation of these people who first received that promise in this book? It was simply this, that following Jesus Christ had become very, very costly for them. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34, we're told this, that the Hebrews had compassion on those who were in prison. So some had been imprisoned on account of their faith. And you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had better possessions. In other words, the authorities had come in. They had taken a dictatorial control. They had simply confiscated the property of believers because they were believers. And here are these folks who've been trying to build up a livelihood, and now they've got so, so much less. And the only reason that they have suffered this particular persecution and this loss is that they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt there were some of them who were just beginning to struggle with the question, is this really worth it when I look at all that it's costing me to follow Jesus? And it seems that there's enormous hostility against me, and many more people who are in a completely different place than those who are standing with me here. Is it really worth it? And that's why the book of Hebrews has so much about persevering and about not turning back. And it comes to this in the very last chapter. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, brackets, even if it's a lot less than it used to be because you've been plundered and you've really suffered a great loss on account of your faith. And here's how you can do it. Because God has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And as I've been praying and preparing the message, my mind has been going out to many, many folks in the congregation who in very, very different ways have found that following Jesus Christ has truly been costly for you. There is real, measurable loss because of your commitment to integrity, because you took a stand and were baptized as a Christian believer and then were disowned and will not inherit, and all of this. And your life could have been much, much easier if you had chosen a different path, but you chose to walk the path of Jesus and to take up the cross that he holds before you and to follow him. And he says to you, and when you have felt the cost, you need to hear it and to take it in. He says to you, now, I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. Never. Command that we are able to follow as we believe a promise that then brings us into a place of marvelous freedom in which we can make this response. Look at it. He has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So we can confidently say, this is what you have as a Christian. However costly it has been, this is the position that as a believer who is following after Jesus Christ that you are brought into. You're brought into a place where you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And when, because you're obeying the command by believing the promise, you are brought to a place where you can say that, you know what? You have learned the secret of being content.
What a way to wrap up this series, The Art of Contentment, looking at what it means to be truly contented in Christ. I hope this message in the series has been helpful in helping you grow in contentment. If you're interested in a copy of the series for yourself, ask about The Art of Contentment when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your support, Tim Keller's book, The Prodigal God, Recovering the Heart of the Christian Faith. And Colin, what is one thing that you'd like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think that God's marvelous grace is extended towards all people. And, you know, in Tim Keller's retelling of the story of the prodigal son, which is quite brilliant, he draws attention to the fact that there's not one son in this story. There are two, and they're very different. I mean, one lives a life of reckless rebellion. The other lives a very dutiful, a very moral life. He works extremely hard. He stays home and he serves the father. But the point is that there are two ways of getting distant from God. One is the path of open rebellion. The other is the path of self-satisfied, moral, dutiful living. And both of these boys missed the heart of the Father and needed the grace of the Father to be extended towards them. I found this to be a wonderfully compelling book. It speaks to the heart. It draws attention to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows that every one of us needs it. And it shows the way in which the grace of God can touch your life, irrespective of whether you've lived a life of rebellion or whether you've lived a life of moral duty.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. And if you've never given a gift to Open the Bible before, not only will you receive a copy of The Prodigal God, but thanks to the generosity of a supporter of Open the Bible, we're going to be able to double your first-time gift to the ministry this month. Whether you're giving a first-time gift or not, you can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Life. Watch Your Life is a 6-session course that is geared for leaders, but accessible to every believer. The 6 sessions will show you how to grow in godliness, how to feed on Christ, how to pray in the Spirit, how to battle temptation, exercise faith, and discern God's will. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own, or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.